continue with the celebration of God's word in our lives, with our prayer for illumination. Let us pray that the light of today's holy sacrament of baptism may illuminate the word of God in the words of Psalm 29. Your voice, O God, is powerful and majestic. You strengthen and bless your people with peace. By your Spirit, help us to hear today the majesty and blessing of your word. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early rain and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, my Redeemer, and my salvation. Today's reading is a powerful invocation of the Holy Spirit. It's perfect for baptism. And it's also perfect for enabling a 300-year-old congregation to renew our baptismal vows. We are 300 years old, and today we get to start anew, renewed in the Holy Spirit, renewed in our faith. The history behind Joel's prophecy, however, is uncertain. Scholars aren't sure which period in Israel's history this prophecy really applies to. They're not even certain that the locusts mean real and literal plague of insects, or if this is a metaphor for waves of foreign armies that repeatedly pillage storehouses of grain, just as the locusts would do. The heartbreak of a plague of locusts, the repeated terrorizing of a farming community, Joel speaks into the intense anxiety of people who were not in control, people who were victims of invasion and pillory and injustice. Into this intense anxiety, Joel speaks God's promise to pour out God's Spirit on all flesh, all humankind, everything that exists. The enemy is uncertain, but God provides a roaring river of Holy Spirit and plenty for all. Rachel, Rob, and Layla traveled here to share in our 300th anniversary and to celebrate baptism. And they came far from their home in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And ironically, I just returned from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And if only I had met you guys sooner. Because I went to Michigan as a member of the RCA's Commission on Theology. We met last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But many commissioners left early. In the wake of upcoming decisions in our denomination, they decided, why do work? I think it was a terrible retreat. They were afraid because an as yet unknown plan will be recommended this June for our very old denomination. On the table is a decision to split the denomination. The problem is that some churches are open and affirming of same-sex marriage and LGBTQ ministers, like our friends at Stanton Reformed, who today are celebrating their decision to join the RCA's open and affirming organization, Room for All. Some factions wish to dismiss open and affirming congregation, like Stanton and United Reformed in Somerville, from our denomination. And someplace down the road, we may have to decide, where is our true allegiance? Is it with our neighbors? Is it with our historic denomination? It won't be fun. Of course, all this could take years. Churches move really slowly, and denominations creep like glaciers. And nothing at all may change for a very long time. But it creates anxiety. And so for the commissioners who stayed in Grand Rapids, we received our first lesson in how to lead in times of anxiety. It wasn't really about leading, it was how to be in times of anxiety, and so it applies to all of us. We learned anxiety is a virus that works behind the scenes. It gnaws away at our integrity and our purpose. It makes us go home and give up. In the face of intense anxiety, we human beings tend to act a bit more like hordes of locusts. We destroy our own storehouses of strength, our assurance of our persistence in God's grace, our certainty in the fulfillment of God's promises. As a commissioner, we learned that in the face of anxiety, human beings are confronted with this disease, and we have four basic reactions. I'm not saying that this is the truth, but these were behavioral scientists, and this is what they came up with. Here are the four basic reactions. We go on the defense, and we attack people whom we imagine to be opposed to us. That's number one. Two, we go behind people's backs with gossip. We may bully and scapegoat vulnerable people who might also be very unsure of themselves. Three, we plunge ourselves into overworking. We work harder and harder. We barely talk to anybody because we're working so hard. Or the opposite, we might underwork and underperform. Or like a lot of our commissioners, we withdraw altogether and say, I'm going to wait this one out. They're all strategies for survival. And they're all okay, except they don't help us deal with the problems. The training said that each of us has one or more of these tendencies, and they asked us to spend Friday evening on our own. And this is where I wish I knew Rachel and Rob, and I could have just gone and retreated into Baby Layla Fund. Our assignment was to reflect on our personal tendencies. On Saturday, we reported our findings to the group. And this is what I reported. When I'm anxious, I tend to do more. I learned that as the oldest child in a very dysfunctional family. My father was an alcoholic. So I just did a lot of housework, and that made me feel better. I started to realize how overworking can help mask problems, how overworking may not solve anything, how maybe it was good for a teenager, but maybe it's time to leave that behavior alone. Especially if problems need to be worked out. So, it's something to think about. It's something to contemplate. It's something we could do a workshop on because they gave us all the slides. So if you'd like to do this, I'm happy to work through them with you. But I wondered, what's the solution? The first part comes from some of our readings for today. Later on this afternoon, Dave Cole will read at our 300th celebration a reading from Ephesians where Paul says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he prays for that God to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that as we come to know God, through our eyes, the eyes of our heart may become enlightened, and that we may know the hope to which God has called us. The riches, Paul says, of God's glorious inheritance among the saints, the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe, all this we may come to know in when God grants us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I think God is always trying to grant us this spirit of wisdom and revelation, but I think today is a wonderful day to feel it anew. And that's it. That's the beginning of the solution to our anxiety. Like the ancient Israelites, we don't control the train. We don't control the locusts. We are terrified of drought. We are terrified of invading armies. But we also don't trust in God's abundance. In some sense, we oppress ourselves with constant waves of anxiety over worries that prey on our spiritual peace. Our solution begins when we stop, when we ask God to open the eyes of our heart. I think it helps if we can confess these anxieties to each other and be peace for one another here in the church. Because in Layla's baptism and in all our baptism, all things which destroy our communion and destroy the body of Christ, all these terrible things will be finally vanquished in Christ's victory. Because in this 300-year-old congregation, God has built us a refuge, and Christ is at its center. And today is the day that God will pour out God's Spirit on all flesh, at least in the village of Reddington. And today our sons and daughters already are prophesying. And we will hear from many wise and older ones who will dream dreams. And our newest children will see visions. May we listen and believe them. Pray with me. Dear God, you always put children first in your kingdom. Help us envision this new world of truth and justice, love and honesty that all children deserve on this earth. Today we renewed our vow. We will never give up faith or hope as we work for the fruits of your kingdom. Guide us in our promises to Layla, Rachel, and Rob. Guide us in our faith in your church. Amen.